the crosses, but history records there were three. Two stood because of man's broken laws, but I know the other stood there for me. I didn't know Peter or Judas, but I've known the shame of their as the prisoners fell. They never knew the sinner. I was some other place and time. The choice was all his, but the truth wasn't his. The cross in the middle should have been mine. I never deserved the mercy or merited so much grace. And this unworthy man just can't understand why that man of no wrong took my rightful place. If you ever stopped at Calvary, the blood isn't all you will find. For you'd feel it too, why I feel like I do. The cross in the middle, it should have in mine. I never heard the hammer, and I never felt the nails. I never saw the angry mob curse as the prisoner.
And just before the message tonight, my wife will bring a special in song. This evening, I invite you to turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the book of Psalms, Psalm 9. And as you find your place, if you would stand together with me, please. Standing together, shall we? We leave from here in the morning and rendezvous with some missionary friends, we're laboring in Australia, meeting them in Hershey, Pennsylvania. That sounds like a sweet place for fellowship, doesn't it? And then we go from there and spend a few days with friends in Westchester near Philadelphia, and then preach this next Sunday in several towns in New Jersey. So we're headed over to Jersey and then back down south afterwards. And before long, back over to India with plans of being in Burma, Myanmar, and also Bangkok, Thailand. I'll begin reading in verse number 1 of Psalm 9. The psalmist said, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put at their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffered of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all of thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higyan Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not alway be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Let's pray, shall we, Father? We would ask in these days as the clouds gather about us that, Lord, you'd be pleased to move among your people, that you would do a work among us that you might accomplish your pleasure through us. Lord, we pray that you'd stir the embers in our heart, that you would fan that flame that yet burns among your people until it shines brightly like it once did and shines far from this place. Please speak to us tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Not long ago, I was sitting in a church service. When a preacher, a very gifted preacher, delivered a wonderful message, a powerful message that was true in every sense, a message that caused our hearts to tremble as he directed our attention to the words found in verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Yet during the message, preached by a gifted pastor, every word of the message being truth, I found myself wanting to say, read the rest of the chapter. Read the rest of the chapter. Indeed, these words cause our hearts to tremble as we reflect upon verse 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The God of heaven, who having made himself known by his grace, that grace being rejected, makes himself known by his wrath. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion Selah. These words, Higgion Selah, which cause us to ponder with solemn meditation. Higgion being found elsewhere in the Hebrew, translated in just another text here, maybe there, only in this place, spelled out as it is Higgion, and not only spelled out in its word, but joined together only here with that more common word, Selah. So we find ourselves pausing with very somber contemplation. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. These words cause us to shudder as we find ourselves in a world that has forgotten its creator, that doesn't recognize its savior. I have visited one nation after another where you can see in the culture, though it is perverted and corrupt, reminders that the people once had a knowledge of God. Even in India, the most pagan, idolatrous land on the face of the earth, amidst their pantheon of innumerable idols, there is a Trinity. And though the idea of a deity and their worship of so many gods and goddesses has become so corrupt and perverse, there is reminder they once had truth. There are men who scoff at the thought of giants such as Goliath in the pages of the Old Testament. And yet in India, stories are still told of giants who used to walk the earth. There are numerous stories of a great flood that devastated an advanced civilization. The Hindus speak of a world that then was perishing in the city of Madurai. Or I have been on numerous occasions. There is a temple which they say was built. That temple are the ones that preceded it, from which this one gradually emerged. The temple, they say, was built by survivors of a great flood. I tell you, in one culture after another, even the most pagan cultures, we find ourselves reminded that man once had the truth. The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. In this world, we find ourselves amidst a generation that is turning away from God so quickly. And of America, we grieve as we reflect upon the youth of our country, so young in our existence. How quickly we have forgotten. You cannot explain the history of America apart from God. And yet as a nation, so quickly we are forgetting, and we shudder in these moments as we reflect upon these words, that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. I think of our independence. We celebrate the day when we declared independence from men. But my friend, let us grieve over the day when America declared her independence from God. Neither Benjamin Franklin nor Thomas Jefferson could give a testimony that would convince us of their relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet both of them had such a familiarity with God, a knowledge, a reverence of a supreme being. Benjamin Franklin, on one occasion, pausing in the midst of a session with Congress and telling those who were about him, "If a sparrow does not fall without his knowledge, surely an empire cannot rise without his aid." How contrary to the present, when Congress is hastily voting God out of our schools and out of our legislatures and out of our government, then, my friend, they had a recess in Congress so that they might fall on their faces before the God of heaven and plead for his aid. You cannot explain the history of America apart from God. I think of our independence and our iniquity. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. Thomas Jefferson, he said, "I tremble for America when I remember that God is a God of justice and that his justice shall not always sleep." You know, they are so quick to quote the words of Thomas Jefferson, twisting his words and his meaning, separating church and state, as they say. How convenient, my friend, is the amnesia that forgets such words as these. He said, I tremble for America when I remember that God is a God of justice and that His justice shall not always sleep. And I think to myself, if he would tremble so in his day, how much more, my friend, would he perhaps give way to absolute panic if he could witness an abortion procedure at a nearby clinic? I think of our independence and our iniquity and our insolence, our stubborn arrogance. America, forgetting God, has become quite impressed with herself. Oftentimes, our scientists have found themselves quite inspired by entertainment that is readily acknowledged to be only science fiction, and yet they say, why can it not become reality like Star Trek? They had what was called the replicator that would fabricate on demand what a person desired. Now scientists have recently checked that off the list and said, we have that, as they put forward what perhaps for the moment seems to be a crude device, and yet that replicates Star Wars, made popular the fanciful weapon called the lightsaber. And physicists kind of grinned and said, that's a novel idea, but according to the principles of science, absolutely impossible. Because light, though being energy, does not assume a form that could behave itself as a blade that you could strike with light. And they said, just according to physics, it is enchanting, it is novel, but it is not. In recent days, they have been able to manipulate light in such a way that finally at last they checked another item off the list and said, the lightsaber, we have that. Now we find ourselves being invaded with robots. I read recently where a robot has been designed that can literally bond emotionally with its owner. I have no intention of owning a robot. No thought of wanting to emotionally bond with a robot. And yet, in China, they're already in the process, just one company, of replacing more than 60,000 laborers with robots. In India, they are planning to replace a workforce in the very near future of more than 640,000 personnel with robots. Russia has recently stated, we will, in the very near future, replace battalions of soldiers on the front lines with robots. And only in just recent days, though I know it was a crisis and we found ourselves in desperation as a sniper was taking the lives of police officers on the streets of Dallas, it was a robot that was used to execute the sniper. May I say to you, dear friend, yes, even in our desperation, we find ourselves quite impressed with our ingenuity. So quickly We have stepped beyond our once obvious need of God. I think of our insolence. Now, America is so turning from God that we are abandoning a dear friend known as Israel. And you say what you will, my friend of Israel, and how far perhaps they are away from God, but I'll remind you of the words of the Old Testament when God warned nations that mistreated his people that even in that day was far from him. We had best take great care in our relation with his, and yet only recently, Iran, known as Persia in Scripture, and called Persia until very recently, Iran made the announcement that they have over 100,000 missiles aimed at Israel, ready to annihilate the Jewish people. I do not believe that most Christians even realize the hour in which we find ourselves. Russia, having a presence in Syria, is only separated from Israel by the very mountains on which God said he will destroy the army when they make their invasion, according to Ezekiel chapter 38. I don't think that most people realize the hour in which we find ourselves. And we grieve as the world forgets God and our nation turns from God. But my friend, tonight I want you to consider the rest of the chapter. I sat there in the service, not able to find any fault with what was said, but grieving over what was not said. You see, the message of this chapter is this. Yes, God will turn into hell those nations that forget him. But the message of the chapter is this. God has not forgotten his people who live in a world that has forgotten him. You say, preacher, our country has forgotten God. Be that as it may, God has not forgotten his people who live in a land that has forgotten him. Would you notice first his abiding testimony among his people? Think of his words spoken by our lips in verse number 1. He said, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Someone might say, our nation has forgotten God. And I ask, why have we let our nation forget God? He said, I'll lift up my voice. In verse number 13, he cries out, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I'll rejoice in thy salvation. He said, you have lift me up from the gates of hell, and I will declare your name in the gates of my people. We worship God in song and lifting our voice together, telling him how wonderful he is. My friend, God wants us to tell the world how wonderful he is. He is. We have not rightly praised Him until this world hears how wonderful is His grace. I think about His abiding testimony among His people, and I remember that dear lady in my first church, Mrs. Kinard, who oftentimes would send out a letter to a government official. More than one letter was addressed to the White House, and the gospel message enclosed. I don't know if a president ever was able to read it, but I oftentimes thought to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if the President of the United States, scheduled for a televised broadcast, would one day just address the American people and say, tonight, I'm not going to give a State of the Union address as planned. I just want to give a personal word of testimony. The psalmist said, you've lifted me from the gates of hell, and I'll praise your name in the gates of my people. I think about His abiding testimony among His people. Not only His words spoken by our lips, but His works seen in our lives. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. His grace, not only spoken and shared with our lips, but shown in our lives. God wants His people to be that canvas on which He manifests His grace to the world. That platform upon which men see the works of heaven manifest among men. The psalmist said that your grace, that your hand might be shown forth in my life. In verse 14, he said that I may show forth all Thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. Not merely shared with the lip, but shown in the life. The Lord so oftentimes allows His people to live in difficult moments so that the world might see His peace and His power. They've seen enough of our effort. They need to see His grace working in us and through us. I did it again today. It was some time ago when we were staying at a hotel. And I confess I can be rather silly with my daughters. We were on an elevator. And you know the elevator, as it was opening so slowly. When we had reached the floor where we were staying, as the elevator was slowly opening, I put my fingers in the opening of the doors and I went, as the elevator, of course, was opening. And my girls, once again, they were entertained by my silliness. But as I was, I suddenly looked up and I saw this startled elderly lady that was aghast looking at me. And my wife and I today, we went to the elevator and it was closing. But I know that there's this sensor on the door that, you know, you can. There were some folks behind me. I didn't even look to see their reaction. The door was closing this evening, and I knew that if I could catch the sensor, and I just put one hand there. And we stepped on the elevator. I didn't even look back at the other people to see their reaction. My wife said something like, "You're so silly." So oftentimes, my friend, we show what we pretend to be our strength. God wants to show His grace in our lives. Sometimes, allowing even His most choice servants to experience hardship. Sometimes we think, would it not be the most wonderful of things for God to heal this particular child of God? And yet sometimes the Lord does something much more precious. He gives grace in the valley that causes the world to see a peace they don't understand. I tell you, when someone like your pastor can sing like he does from the pulpit and still rejoice in the midst of his battle with cancer, the world finds themselves saying, "I think it's real." Sometimes we don't understand at the moment, maybe God's purpose, and sometimes God gives us a glimpse. My daughter's in India. I remember how that on that train some years ago, our oldest daughter Elizabeth, she began to have that first severe episode, that reaction that we had to literally throw luggage from the train at the next stop. Rachel and I continuing on our journey when it seemed like she had recovered, only to find out later that Samantha outside the train station where we left them had to apply the EpiPen, the injection, to save her life in that moment. We saw our daughters struggle with things that we didn't understand the why. Rachel wrestling with different, she couldn't go into a seafood restaurant, but what? Just being in the restaurant with the fish, that she would break out into hives when we left. The Lord relieved her of much of that until now. Would you believe that she's quite obsessed with sushi of all things? I think it's her revenge on fish. I'm not sure. But sometimes you're not sure what the Lord, you don't know the why. God is showing His grace through His people. The psalmist said to show forth your praise. Rachel, this summer, is laboring with a ministry that contracts with different organizations, the Boy Scouts in particular. Rachel is at perhaps the largest Boy Scout camp in the world in Muskegon, Michigan. She is the head chef in her department, preparing the food for all children that are on special diets because of anaphylactic allergy. Or suddenly the Lord is allowing her a ministry that she would not have had otherwise, and prepared her in a way we would not have chosen, not in a lifetime would we have chosen. But God is so gracious in ways we cannot even begin to imagine. Of course, we've been in touch with her and talking with her. Our hearts rejoiced as she told us. She said, "Would you believe?" She said, "A Boy Scout troop of just Indian children. More than 40 Indian children in the Boy Scout troop. They came to the camp because they are Hindu. They have a very strict diet. She said, I'm the only one who can cook for all of them. We kind of nervously asked, well, how's it going? She said, they keep coming back for seconds, so I guess it's going pretty well. But not only coming back for seconds, but coming back and asking her and talking to her. And sometimes we don't see, and perhaps even in this lifetime we won't realize. But my friend, God allows His people, even days so difficult as these, to be a testimony of His grace, even in the midst of a generation that so much deserves His wrath. I think of His abiding testimony among His people. And then I think of His abounding mercy toward His people. My heart trembles when I read those words. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. But then I remember the words in verse number 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. You hear me, my friend? The message of the psalm is this: God has not forgotten His people who live in a land that has forgotten Him. Look at verse number 12. When He maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. God said, I have not forgotten my people who live in a land that has forgotten me. And even though the day should come when God makes inquisition for blood, when He requires of this land that has forgotten Him the blood of every infant child that has ever been slain in an abortion clinic, God says, even in that moment when I make inquisition for blood, know this, I have not forgotten my people. There are two passages of Scripture that stir my soul. Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Malachi being the book just before the first book of the New Testament. If you can follow that. Malachi chapter number 3. Last book of the Old Testament. The book just before the first book of the New Testament. Verse number 16. As Malachi had spoken about the unfaithfulness of Israel, and described again as others before him, their waywardness. By the way, he being among the last of the prophets, raising his voice before those years of silence would follow until the announcement of Christ's imminent birth. The preparation of the forerunner that would herald His coming. Malachi, he said in verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. When Malachi, as other prophets before him, would speak of the unfaithfulness of God's people, He was quick to remind them, God has not forgotten. Far be it, my friend. He's made himself a book of remembrance. And ere those days of silence follow, when man does not hear from heaven, just know this, I have not forgotten my people. Memories are such precious things. We find ourselves more and more reminiscing, thinking of our daughters and their childhood. My wife and I, not long ago, we were at Niagara Falls. There's this one particular ice cream counter. They put a little twist to it. They call it flavor twist. And ice cream, as they do it there. We were standing at the counter, and as we were making our order, I told the girl, I said, I want bubble gum. Give me bubble gum flavor. Now, she did not smirk. You do not laugh at paying customers, however much you may want to. I said, give me bubble gum flavor. She made my ice cream. She handed it to me. And then I said, the last time we were here, our daughters were with us. And this is the flavor that they chose then and perhaps would have now. So Daddy's having bubblegum flavor tonight. Memory's a wonderful thing. We do not forget those so precious to us. Much more, my friend, God said, I can never forget. And the God who is omniscient and knows all, even in his omniscience, he said, so you will know how intent is my heart. I prepared a book to be set before me, a book of remembrance. I have not forgotten my people who live in a land that has forgotten me. In verse number 17, he said, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. He said, I've not forgotten my people. They are the precious jewels that are gathered to myself as an incomparable treasure so dear to my heart. There's another verse of scripture that causes me to behold in amazement the words found in Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. The book of Nahum. I remind you of how that God had sent Jonah to Nineveh. Nineveh, that people so deserving of God's, and Jonah declaring that brief message, simply stating 40 days and Nineveh is no more. Well, you remember how that Nineveh repented, humbled herself before the God of heaven. And the Lord lingered in mercy, and he showed grace, and he spared wicked Nineveh. But judgment would come upon such a deserving people. And though God in the day of Jonah, he spared in mercy, because the king, as well as the noble, and the common man, as a people, they humbled themselves. God spared the city. One day, Nahum lifted his voice and said, judgment day has come for Nineveh. But notice the words of verse 7. In the midst of his declaration of judgment, Nahum says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. My friend, what is so amazing about those words is that they are found in a declaration of God's judgment against wicked Nineveh that would be destroyed. But ere the day of judgment came, God said, I have not forgotten my people who live amidst a people who have forgotten me. I tremble over those words. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those nations that forget God. But I've read the rest of the chapter, and I'm reminded God has not forgotten his people who live in a land that has forgotten him. In verse number 10, he said, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Let's pursue after him, because God has not forgotten his people who live in a land that has forgotten him. In verse 11, he said, sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Let's pursue him and let's praise him, this God who inhabits the praises of his people. For God has not forgotten his people who live in a land that has forgotten him. In verse number 12, he said, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Let us pursue after him, praise him, and pray to him. He hears the cry of the humble. God has not forgotten his people who live in a land that has forgotten him. Some will ask the question, is it too late for America to see revival? I know this. It's not too late for this church to see revival, because God has not forgotten his people that live in a land that has forgotten him. Will America ever turn her eyes again unto God? I do not have to answer the question to say, let us seek after God, because he has not forgotten his people that live in a land that has forgotten him. People oftentimes ask me, do you think it is possible that we might see a national revival in our day? And I'm quick to reply and say, there are enough naysayers who say it is impossible. They don't need my voice. There are no special awards given to those who speak with such doubt. I'll just be among those who dare to believe that God might be gracious and merciful. And the others might declare themselves one day to be prophets, having announced America's certain doom, only to discover there are no crowns given to such people. I know this, dear friend. I know this. That whether America ever turns again to God or not, I know this. God has not forgotten his people who dwell in a land that has forgotten him. Would you stand together with me tonight? Standing together, shall we? All our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. As our brother plays softly, maybe tonight you need to find a place to kneel. And on bended knees, perhaps you'd simply pray, Lord, we want to see revival in this country of ours. But Lord, whether America sees revival or not, Lord, let us see revival. You see, my friends, oftentimes Christians speak with a very sincere burden, longing for America to see revival. But I'm afraid far too many times Christians have allowed that to be some sort of an excuse for their coldness and idleness. That because America has turned away from God, they think we live in such a dark day that it seems as though revival is impossible. You hear me tonight, dear friend. My heart would be thrilled for this land to see revival. And I know this. This church can have revival. We can have revival. God has not forgotten His people who live in a land that has forgotten Him. Do you need to step out and do business with the Lord and find a place to kneel and on bended knees? You'd lift your prayer. Lord, we will pursue after You and praise You and pray morning, noon, and night. Pray. Oh Lord, how long till at last we hear that trumpet sound and You return for Your own? How long? The day is soon approaching and the shadows are gathering. But however the dark the day may be, my friend, God has not forgotten His people. Let's close in a word of prayer tonight. Let it be the prayer of our hearts, the desire of our lives, that we would not only speak forth His truth, but we would show forth in our lives His grace. Lord, thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that though that time comes after You have shown Yourself to be a God of grace, that day at last has come when God's justice so shows itself men are reminded that You're known by the judgment which You executeth, and the God who was once known by His grace is known by His wrath. Lord, though our hearts tremble at the thought, we rejoice over the precious truth that You've not forgotten Your people who live in a land that has forgotten You. Please, Lord, make this truth real in our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We dismissed. Anything else that you need to say? Thank you again for the honor of being with you. It has been a delightful pleasure.